If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you serious?
So, welcome to another episode of How to Kill an Hour. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us. Before I even introduce myself and our fabulous guest today, you can listen to How to Kill an Hour via any device. Just go to howtokillanhour.com/podcast or howtokillanhour.com/podcasts, because we realize that I've been saying podcast in some episodes and podcasts in others. So both of those links will take you will take you to the podcast, however, or whatever device you're using. So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Marcus Bronzy, your usual host, and today I'm joined by
Ahir Shah,
a comedian amongst other things. I'm going to say, but I'd love to talk loads about your comedy today. First things first, though, is it really true that your phone auto corrects your name to shit?
Yeah. Well, so it certainly was true when I wrote the joke. Okay, cool. About 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, it autocorrects Ahir Shah to shit shag, basically.
Fuck's sake.
And what's become very nice about it is because I still, like, in doing club sets and stuff, will often open with that joke just because it's a nice swift one.
Yeah.
It means that every so often I get texts from other comedians just out of the blue. It'll be someone who I've not heard from in like 3 months, and they'll just text me being like, my phone just autocorrected shit to Ahir. So it's happening the other way on the comedy circuit now.
Yes!
That should be the test of, like, how to prove you're a professional comedian. Phone autocorrects shit to Ahir.
That's it. That's how you know you've made it. That's how you know you've made it. Siri, you're next. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about your comedy today. But how have you been killing time recently?
So, as you know, the Edinburgh Festival is coming up in August, where all sort of comedians from all around the world descend on August and descend on Scotland, yeah. And whoever gets closest to having a complete mental collapse wins an award. And I think that this is the year that I go full nuts. So, like, I've got close twice. Basically, because of that, I have been doing absolutely anything other than working on the show, as you'll know, just the joys of procrastination. So generally the way that this works for me is I get really, really invested in a television series.
Nice.
So previously, I remember I was trying to think of, like, the historical ones I've done. So before my finals at university, I watched all of Yes Minister because I was doing a politics degree and I convinced myself that that was basically revision. A few years ago, before the Edinburgh Fringe, I think I rewatched all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Absolutely fantastic summer for me. Edinburgh was very much the low light of that summer. This time, I am watching the very untaxing intellectually sort of modern day Sherlock Holmes caper, Elementary.
Oh, yes, that with Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking love that.
It is, it's really good fun.
It's so good.
But what I really like about it is that, like, it's clearly designed for people with like incredibly short sort of modern attention spans.
Yep.
Because I'm watching it on Now TV, it doesn't have ads, but I know exactly when the ad break would be because every so often someone just says a sentence that recaps the entire episode.
It's wicked, isn't it? Point.
It was like out of nowhere, like, why has Lucy Liu just said, so we're investigating the murder of a businessman who was found in an alley with a gunshot? Oh, right, because that's when the ads would have been. All right, fair enough.
Perfect show for cruising along Facebook.
Yeah.
While you're watching. Oh, man, I think you're the first ever person I've met in real life that also loves Elementary as well, man. It's a good take on Sherlock, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And yeah, also, like, I've been trying to use deductive reasoning, like, in my day-to-day life as a result of it, because I was going to be like, oh, this is going to make me like Sherlock.
Yeah. Have you been saying it as well? Like, by the way, just going to use some deductive reasoning.
I should.
Yeah.
But like, yesterday, just in the lobby, recording a rival podcast, nowhere near as good as this one, obviously.
They don't know how to kill hours. They just caress them softly.
Yeah. That thing lasted like 15 minutes, bro. That was nothing. It was a child's play. But I was there sort of in the lobby, and I was waiting for my friend Helen, who's the host of it, and heard someone coming down some stairs. I was like, oh, perhaps this is Helen. And then they cleared their throat, and I was like, no. That is a middle-aged man. And it was.
Yes.
It was. And yes. I was so thrilled. I was like, I have absolutely Sherlocked this motherfucker. This is fantastic work.
That's it. So if we need a detective that can work out via a cough whether someone is male or female, you are the detective.
I am that person.
No shit, Sherlock.
Sherlock.
Sherlock, that's the one. We've got it. Sherlock Holmes. Yes. Oh, that is great. Someone's got to make that. We wouldn't get sued for that, would we? That would just be so close. But, you know, like when you get those ropey kind of dodgy fake Superman films and stuff like that. That would be great, man. And did you know that Lucy Liu there's like a Twitter page or a website. I'll have a little look in a sec. There's like a page for everything that she wears in the show.
Really?
So yeah, her Watson is really stylish. Like she's really stylish. I don't know where she gets the money for all this clothing from, because apparently Sherlock doesn't pay her very well. She's got like a Twitter page for all of her clothes. So every outfit she wears, you can go to like the Twitter page where they tweet it out, or there's a web page where they write a blog post about it every single time. It's crazy, crazy. So maybe the show's great for that. You can check out what she's wearing, then get a recap. Buffy as well.
Yeah.
Some people may not even remember Buffy because it's a bit of a dated show, but that was a cracking show, man.
It
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
What was her name? What's the main actor?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That was it, Sarah Michelle Gellar. And what's his name from Bones? Angel. He turned up in like a few seasons in, didn't he?
Yeah, he was
like
there at the beginning.
The rogue vampire who loved her. Oh, great. What a great show.
It's extraordinary. Like, I mean, thank God that it's not on Netflix. Otherwise, I would be doing absolutely no work towards my...
I'm just here thinking about Buffy. What a great show. But so you have been working a little bit on your comedy.
Oh, yes, I have.
So what can we expect from you this year? Because the thing is, you've got quite a range. So I've seen your stand-up, but I've also seen some of the stuff that you do off the top, like in terms of, I call it like freestyle comedy. Yeah? Mm. But that's not the name for it professionally. But I've seen you do a show where... literally random topics pop up and you have to work with it. So like, what are we going to have bits of that in the show as well? Are you going to go and riff off, or are you going to be keeping it quite tight or specific?
No, so the reason that something like set list is so fun and freeing is that in the shows I always have sort of a very specific story that I want to tell and angle that I want to take with everything, and it's like, come on, we've not got time for any extraneous bullshit. I don't care what your name is and what you do for a living, I've got shit to talk about. And so you do that for an hour, and then obviously somewhere like Edinburgh, where you're doing that every day and sometimes a couple of times a day, just can get quite repetitive. And so I suppose you do like adding little bits into the show day by day that try to make it feel like, the lovely thing about stand-up is when you feel like you're in a room where this thing could never happen in exactly the same way again. And so you've got to keep a bit of that freshness in it. But that's why doing something like Setlist is super fun, just because you're like, right, now there is absolutely no plan. I am just stood on a stage and some words are going to come up behind me, and let's try and make that funny.
And you just have to riff off them, and then you get a laugh, and then you're like, next, and the next random thing comes up.
So my tactic has always been so the first time I did it, I was like, I've been really down today, so thank you for coming out to this. I've been really down today. I'll tell you why, and then just turn and see what comes up, because that just turns into the first punchline. So the very first time I did it, I said that and then looked behind me and it just said restless sperm syndrome. And so I was just like, that's what I got. And let's go for it.
Totally understandable. Is it the audience that makes these up as well? Or is it somebody who's writing?
No,
these?
The people, right, cool. The people who run the show.
Say, okay, cool. All right. Awesome. And what was it? I saw like Zoo Tourette's. That was a big one. Mm-hmm. I think, that was that you got as well. And I think you had to like vibe off that. And I think you spoke about a little bit of Tourette's and throwing poo, which was great. So your show, what can we expect from it this year? What's going to be different? What's the angle of this?
So basically, I think that it's about certainty, but I'm not sure. Right. So that's where I'm sort of going. Like, I'm 99% sure.
Okay.
That's what it's. That's the thing that I'm going to take. But basically, it's just going to be talking about how you almost need like certain kinds of things in life that tether you to both your present and your conception of the future. And if you don't sort of have that, then you end up being a bit like a tent where someone's removed all the pegs and you're just sort of blowing about really in sort of weird aimlessness and amorphousness. And sort of trying to talk about the ways in which we try to tether ourselves to our presence and future and the elements of that that I currently lack.
Okay.
It's a lot funnier than I make it sound.
Like, sounds real deep.
Yeah. Seriously, like, I've never been able to talk about my comedy in a way that makes it sound funny, which is a real flaw. But like my last show, this is, at least this one's going to be simpler than the last one, where I would have to do like radio interviews and stuff. And it's like, and so what can the people of Shropshire expect from your funny stand-up comedy? And it's like, well, I went to India and saw my grandmother, who was deported when I was 5, on her deathbed when she was dying of cancer and also had very advanced dementia. And I promise it's hilarious. I really swear to you, I'm very good at my job. Like,
the poor presenter there is like, let's get to news. We just need to get to news so quick. Fucking hell.
Come on, it's not like the news is less depressing.
Well, you know what? Well, you study politics. So, like, are you still pretty plugged into the political game right now?
To an extent. I try not to be overly plugged in.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I think particularly with the sort of hyper-connected way that we live our lives in the contemporary world, and, you know, I have a supercomputer in my pocket that tells me what batshit stuff the President of the United States has come out with today, and there is nothing that I can do to prevent that or make it better or anything, but because you're so connected, you convince yourself that you're actually part of it.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm trying to take a bit more of a step back. But at the moment, I am following with great interest the leadership election of the Conservative Party, because this is going to decide our entire future as a country, and it's going to be decided on by the membership of the Conservative Party, who are a bunch of rural batshit wingnuts with an average age of ghost.
Average age of ghost.
They are.
It is. I mean, it's quite.
The collective noun for Conservative Party members is a haunting.
But it's like, I'll be honest with you, I kind of struggle to know or be aware of the level that I should be engaging in such serious issues, because I feel like if I over-engage, it's going to really depress me.
Yeah.
Right? If you really engage and take in exactly how fucked up some of the stuff that is going on worldwide as well as in the UK, I kind of think like I don't want to have to think about it, but I also want to be aware of it. Mm. So like, I don't know. I'm asking you for a bit of advice. How plugged in should I be? How aware should I be of things? Should I be, I don't want to be totally ignorant, but I kind of want to protect some of my ignorance, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and there's also like the phenomenon known as compassion fatigue, right? Like there's a certain amount, you've got a certain degree of bandwidth that you can get involved with this stuff in. I think like, as long as you're not like, all right, this is the thing that I'm going to be infuriated by for the next 20 minutes, and then I will find the next thing to be infuriated by.
Yeah.
And really all you're doing is sort of bringing yourself up to a boil, and you're going to overflow the pot at some stage. Right. And so I think like sort of what surprised me through less sort of active following of stuff is how much you glean from osmosis, just like the stuff that like conversationally will come up anyway.
Yeah.
And it's quite nice being like, oh, I don't know about that. Could you explain that to me?
They'll
be like, oh, right. So Donald Trump's in the UK and he's said all this stuff about Sadiq Khan on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right. I don't look at Donald Trump's Twitter feed because I at least vaguely value my mental health. So I will alienate responsibility for that to you.
You know what? I enjoy being that person at a party. I do enjoy being that person. And I have no problem with selecting certain words like Trump and making sure that they're not on my Twitter feed. It's easy to do that in Twitter. Yeah. You can like have certain words kind of just, if that word is that trigger words in a tweet, quite literally trigger words, you don't have to see it. Do you know what I mean? I think I'm more of the guy that unfollows as well. Like if I see something on Facebook that I don't like, I'm not like, oh, angry comment. I'm like,
yeah,
unfollow. Snooze for 30 days. Don't need to see any of that. Interesting. Very interesting. Thanks for that, man. How important do you think it is for comedy at this moment in time as well? How important is it for people like yourselves to be able to inject humor into life?
I don't know. I think that as with any kind of art form, comedy can be far too up its own ass for its own good. So it's like, actually, I'm an artist who is really changing the perception of... and it's just like... At a certain point, you've got to be like, get over yourself, you're a fucking clown. Like, and that's why you're doing that. Like, you're doing this because you enjoy waking up at noon. You're not doing this because you're like a danger dog speaking truth to power. But yes, to a certain extent, like, it is nice to be able to I recognize that it's all on fire as well. And these are some things that I've thought about it. Yeah. Or like, you know, it's like, oh, you might not be feeling very okay. I'm also not feeling very okay. And but this is some jokes that I've written about it. And so maybe we can we'll all be, for this sort of period, feel a little less alone.
Yeah. So in a way, then you might be saying that Brexit's good for comedy then.
It's good for the hour a day that I'm on stage and not good for the 23 hours a day where I'm a member of an ethnic minority in the United Kingdom in 2019.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's affected American comedians though as well, like with regards to what they talk about? Because I feel like here we've kind of been laughing at America for a few years and then we've been in our own kind of state now. So do you think it's like, how do you think it's affected them?
Well, I think like it's sort of raised the bar a bit because obviously, these are the big things of our time, right? Man. And so whatever the big issue of the time is, everyone's going to be talking about it. So you've got to have an angle that's actually worthwhile in talking about it. Because, like, if I just hear a comedian, like a British comedian being like, oh, isn't the Brexit negotiations are going badly? And you're like, well, yeah, okay, like, what are you bringing to this? And similarly, if an American comedian's like, I don't think that Donald Trump is a very nice man. You're like, yes, okay, come on, what are we?
Yeah.
So like, you get overload of that sort of material, right? So one of the really great ones that I would recommend everyone listen to is John Mulaney's one where he compares Donald Trump to a horse being in a hospital and just none of it making any sense and everything. And people are like, oh, well, so I don't necessarily agree with everything. It's like, no, you're missing the point. There is a horse in the hospital. that sort of thing's worthwhile, but yeah, you have to have a sort of angle, and particularly considering that now that we live in a world where within 30 seconds of something occurring, pretty much every first order joke that could be done has immediately been posted on social media. So you got to go a bit like that's where you're earning your dinner.
Yeah, man, you got to be real sharp nowadays. I mean, the comment section is where it's at.
Never read the comment section, people. Never read the comments.
I am there for the comment. I live for the comment section. Sometimes I see a post and I'm like, oh my, right, let me get some popcorn. I'm in 1,000 comments. Let's go. So yeah, we'll talk more about your stand-up.
I do quite like those ones. Or on Twitter, where someone will just be like, I'm just here for the ratio.
Of course.
Someone just says something so breathtakingly dumb.
You're like, right, I'm invested. I want notifications on this post. Yeah. This is going to be popping for the next 24 hours.
Whenever someone like Daniel Hernandez, like, actually, the British Empire was mainly about giving everyone a nice cup of tea.
Yes!
Right, Dan, I am terribly sorry to have to be the one to inform you of this, but, oh, buddy, you got to want to sit down.
Yes. Oh, internet wins. That's what I call those. So, yeah, as well as stand-up, I mean, your TV stuff's really funny as well. So there's, like, Mash Report.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Life Lessons and Summer Sky. Like, let's talk about those real quick, man, because those are really good watches.
Thank you.
That's good. Like, how did they come to be?
You caught me on a burp.
Is it a good one?
No, it was very unsatisfying because I was trying to suppress it and talk to you.
No, you got to let it be free, man. Like, we're in a studio, you can let it out. We've got aircon in here as well. We will turn it up. You know what I mean? Yeah, so Summer Sky and Life Lessons, like, again, I feel like you hit some real nice angles, like, you kind of put yourself into it, so it's very different, but, you know, I'd love to hear from you how they came to be.
Like, those things are all quite nice to do because, like, I don't think of myself as particularly, like, great at sort of writing scripts or being an actor in those things, and so it's just nice to kind of have the opportunity to attempt to flex those muscles and be like, well, I can at least be decent at this, because as anyone will know, like, the thing that's in your comfort zone is very nice to be the thing that you do regularly, but every so often you're like, all right, let's give this a go and see how this pans out.
Yeah. Is it quite different writing stuff? Well, I know it's different, but how is it different, should I say, is writing stuff for TV where you know you're not going to get the instant feedback on the content? Yeah.
Well, that's the terrifying thing. Like, the great thing about stand-up is I know within a very, very short space of time if there is any value to a joke that I'm telling. And so, but then, you know, it's like you film a sketch and you're like, for the Match Report or something, and you're like, well, at the weekend, I'll find out if that was funny. And now we play the waiting game.
Yeah, and then get on Twitter as well.
Yeah,
wait for comments.
That's the live comment section, not going on the comment section, baby.
Did you read the comments for any of your stuff that's online on YouTube?
God, no. I occasionally have, like, I've occasionally done it, like, when drunk. Yeah. Oh, that was a bad idea.
And
every time. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is why you don't do that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. Like, we just have this, like, awful, I think, just thing in any human brain where it doesn't matter that 99 people are like, oh, and that, oh, that was funny, or oh, I really enjoyed that, or what a nice smart thing, or whatever. It's the one guy at the end who's like, hey, maybe you should go back to a country that even your parents aren't from. They're like, oh, well, now everyone thinks that. And it's like, no, fucking 99% of people were decent and everything. Yeah. It's just this weird asshole. Like,
it's one twat that decides to throw it out.
So why do it to yourself?
Exactly. I mean, this is coming from a man who says his own voice sounds like it's been colonized.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So politics, studying that and getting into comedy, where was the, like, where did you make the turn, like, and how did you have this conversation with your family about, hey, by the way, this politics thing kind of not for me, I kind of think the stage is for me. How did that happen, man?
Well, so my dad was the one who suggested I do stand-up comedy for the first time when I was 15.
No way.
So I'd been doing it as a sort of hobby, so like I remember, so Pardon me. I was 15 in 2006.
Yeah. It's better when you let it out. See? Yeah. It's better, just let it out.
So my first couple of gigs were like in pubs in London before the smoking ban.
And wow.
It's just like a very odd situation of this like a child walking on a stage in a pub where he could hardly breathe. like, hello, I have thoughts. and so... I wanted to go to university because that was a subject that I was interested in anyway, and it was sort of a thing that I think is increasingly, unfortunately, being lost, considering the now financial element and pressure in education. But it's sort of education as an end in itself.
Yeah, man.
Felt quite nice. So I was like, I want to do this degree and work out what it is that I want to do. And at the end of it, I was like, right, okay, I think I'm going to give this thing a go and try and make a go of it. And happily, because I grew up in London, my parents very kindly were like, you can live with us until you can afford both rent and food. it was like, at that stage, I was very much having to an either or between food or shelter. And so, just stayed with them for 18 months when I was sort of living on scraps, and then sort of took it from there, and it's going all right.
It's really cool, man. It's really good that your parents supported you, like, because there's a lot of comedians will tell you the exact converse of that story. So it'll be like, so, you know, I had to come out to my mum and dad. Mum and dad, I don't want a proper job.
I'm funny. I'm sorry.
yeah, so that's really good. Are they still really supportive as well then? And they're like, really, they must be super proud of you.
If anything, they are too supportive. I would like them to be slightly less supportive.
Oh, wait, have you got mum and dad that will be like, turn up to shows and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Like, I've got classic Neshi parents, but like to overdrive.
Yes.
My mum's comparatively normal,
right.
And my dad is a tremendous weirdo. but he's just like, oh, here, what it would be good to do is, could you send me the script of your show as it currently stands? Because I'd like to. I'm like, well, Dad, you know, like, firstly, it's not sort of necessarily where I want it. It was still work in progress, and we're previewing a lot of the, this is like a month ago, by the way. And it's like, well, it's still sort of bits, and I don't really have the structure together, and it's not the form that, you know, it's meant to be a performed thing. It's not meant to be read on a page. He's like, I'll be able to understand it. Don't worry about
that. Yes!
I'm like, I'm not giving this to you. Like, why? Like, he just loves being involved. Loves being involved.
I reckon your dad wants a cheeky little credit, writing credit, doesn't he?
Absolutely does.
Yeah.
But like, it's infuriating the number of people on the circuit who, within the first 5 minutes of a conversation, are like, how's Vikram?
How's Vikram? How's he doing? Is he good? Tell him I like that joke about... hang on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice though, man. So what do you like the best about performing in front of a live audience? Like, what really does it for you?
I like the immediacy of the reaction that you get, the knowing straight. And it's sort of, when it's at its best, you feel like, because stand-up is, well, I can't even remember who said it, but it's effectively applied psychology, right? So you're working out, and there is a sort of odd manipulative element to it. I'm going to make you laugh in that way. To a certain extent, like when it's really singing and you feel a bit like a conductor and they're your orchestra, and it's like, and now I'm going to bring the strings in with this line, and now I'm going to, all right, yes, and let's have a bit of a, oh, and now I'm really going to hit, so we need some percussion going like that. And it's a nice thing to almost be able to orchestrate a mood in that way.
So it's basically controlling a room.
Yeah. It's a combination of charismatic authority and megalomania.
Just a little nice mix. Yeah. What would you say the percentages are on that? So are you a techie person? I mean, you say you've got a super computer in your pocket. Do you find yourself thinking yourself as like quite a techie person or not? I see you got the Beats X around.
Oh, yeah, very much so. The wireless headphones are one of those things that I was so resistant to.
Same.
For ages. I was like, everyone looks like an absolute tool. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to be doing this. What happened is I was thinking about trading in my phone. I went to the Apple store. And they were like, oh, right, you know, they're like fucking grand now. And they're like,
and
oh,
then some.
That's what it's going to be. I went home and I was like, oh, but the, you know, I've got some trade-in value for the 6S that I had. And so maybe I do need to do this, and I'll just do a thing. And so I was thinking about this. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'm going to go back to the Apple store. First, I'm going to go to the loo, immediately drop the phone in the loo. So immediately it had no resale value whatsoever. Like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so but now I have one of the recent ones which doesn't have a headphone jack, so I had to get these wireless things. I'm never looking back.
Yeah, I mean, the way you said it, the eye contact was struggling. I'm never looking back. Yeah. Yeah, I'm invested. I mean, I'm quite reluctant sometimes. So I was with wireless headphones. I was like, all right, cool. But they are really good. There are really good ones out there. They sound really good. The batteries last for ages now. I was like that with Apple Watch as well. I was like, not really necessary. I was like, my phone tells the time, can make calls on my phone, can also listen to podcasts on my phone. What do I need Apple Watch for? And then when I got it, like, honestly, now I'm like, if I'm not wearing it, I'm like, fuck's sake, I've got to take my phone out of my pocket to answer a call. I have to look and see who it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm fully invested now. So with tech, I feel like it's slowly becoming something that once you invest in it,
are you a big time fitness person?
I like to go to the gym. My diet lets me down, but that's another conversation. But yeah, I do like working out. So like if I go for a little jog, if I go for a walk, or if I do some sort of exercise, you can log it really well on this.
Right.
It's actually got an ECG on it as well. So if I have a heart flutter, I will know, which
is that a likely thing?
I don't know. But you know what? Actually, that's one of the things, like, for a lot of smartwatches now, there's this whole health aspect of it as well. Mm. So if you have problems with your heart, you don't actually know. So this is the first... I really sound like I'm selling this, don't I? Yeah. Not being paid. It's the first watch to have...
Guys, Billy, could you ask Johnny Ive to leave the room? And why has Tim Cook got a gun to his head? Like,
Tim... I'm trying my best, Tim. So yeah, it's got an ECG on it. It's the first ever... what over-the-counter ECG you can get. So if I have problems like a heart flutter that's intermittent, I would have never known about it. But now my watch will say, hey, you might be dying.
And right.
Then I can address it immediately.
I love these things of like really overblown technological things. Because it'd be like, yeah, I've got this feature which tells me if I've got an intermittent heart flutter. Yeah. Do you? No.
Hey, worth every penny. Shall I take you back to the shop now?
Yeah. Like, I'll find you.
Yeah. As long as I don't drop it in the toilet. So for you, social media and such, like, how do you use these tools to kind of for your comedy? Because there's some comedians that are very social media heavy, others that aren't. What's your take on social media and using that to further your career?
Sort of sparingly.
Yeah.
I was just like glued to Twitter constantly several years ago, and just like, what's the point? Now, and it just sort of felt like a weird thing. Like, it's like weaning yourself off any addiction, where at first you're like, oh my god, I really want to see what's going on, and then a few days later you're like, oh, I haven't thought about that in quite a while now. This is nice. I'm certainly not one for. I don't have Instagram. I have a Facebook page that I still think has details of a tour that has now finished.
Nice.
I'm not good at publicizing my work or self, which is why Lily is here.
Shout out to Lily.
Publicist who is very good at that sort of thing and occasionally looks askance at me and be like, But why are you doing this? are you actively trying to damage your career and prospects?
It's self-sabotage that you're investing in right now.
And I'm like, yes. Obviously, yes.
Do you want to be successful?
No. Like, this has all happened despite my best fucking efforts, right? Like, I have tried everything.
I mean, I even study politics. How far away from the station you get?
Every time you turn up in Edinburgh, there's a queue of people. You're like, what? Did you not get the message? This isn't for you. Everyone listening to this is banned from buying tickets to ever see me do comedy. I hate you.
That's a good start to your show. Hi, guys. I hate all of you. I really wish you didn't come today.
You seem lovely. Most people are.
So as a comedian that's on the up and up, what advice have you got for other comedians that kind of want to get into the game? Because I feel like you've come up being yourself. I mean, you even said it. You don't even use social media. You don't care. Because it's not your way.
Yeah. My advice to people who are new to the game is stay off my fucking turf. Can't be dealing with it. Can't be dealing with it. There's enough competition in this goddamn town. You assholes getting involved.
Yes, I think we should have a public service announcement from you right now. This is you can say this directly to all of your future competition.
I'm working this corner. Stay away. Oh man, it's one of the most fun things that you can do in the world. It's really, like, even if you're not I do think that stand up is one of those things that like, even if you don't want to do it as a career, or like, it's such a lovely thing to try once and stuff, like, just to get it. Like, I know, like, lots of people will end up doing stand-up comedy courses. These sorts of things exist definitely in London and Manchester, and I'm sure elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But lots of people will just do them because they're like, at work, I've always felt nervous about whenever I'm called upon to do a presentation, and I would like to be less like that.
Okay.
And so they go there and just, like, get a bit more confidence with public speaking, and they're like, oh, that's all I wanted out of the deal. But it helps them out. I think it's a great great thing to do.
Oh, nice. So, like, so they're in the office on Monday now, like, redundancy, am I right? You're all fired. I've thought about it. I really have. I mean, I feel like it would be nice to have a comedian or two that I could maybe get in contact with once in a while and be like, hey, how do I get into it? Now, I've thought about it. I think it's a scary thought, though, getting on stage and just fucking up. Like, you know, like
I still do that occasionally.
I presume it happens to you a lot less, though. Like, getting on stage, cracking jokes, and just being just death, dying on stage. But I believe it's part of the process of becoming a comedian, right? You kind of have to die on stage.
Yeah. Well, also, like, you do, I probably do stand up somewhere between, like, 200, 250, 300 times a year.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to go well all of those times. Like, it would be statistically so strange if none of those went terribly. Yeah. And sort of, you need your sort of quarterly cleansing death. Really.
Like, something to bring you back down to earth. You're like, oh shit, no, I'm human. Yeah. I'm actually a human person. Wow. Like, and with comedians as well, is there quite a good comradeship in the UK with other comedians? Like, is everyone probably a dickhead because we're all humans and the dickheads exist, but is everyone pretty cool on the scene? Like, is it everyone
generally
pretty chatty and stuff? Because I feel like there's loads more outlets for you guys. There's all of the online streaming services, and there's loads of TV stuff for you to create. So it from the outside, it looks like everyone's mates, but is it pretty cool, or is there quite a lot of competition?
I think, like, it also depends sort of what level you're at and how things are going, because, like, I remember a lot of people do talk about the idea that there's a lot of bitterness and sort of hostility that goes on, but I think once people are at a certain level and doing all right, then it's just nice, because, like, you want your mates to do well and everything, and you're like, right. And it's the nice thing of, like, the reason that I love Edinburgh so much is that it's the one time where it feels like all of your colleagues are in the same place, and it's like you get to just have a drink in the evening and be like, oh, how was work today? Yes, it was good. and it feels sort of really nice and supportive in a lot of ways. Like, if ever you're not like feeling particularly well or anything like that, there's always sort of people who you can call upon who can reliably sort of give you a chat and give you a laugh.
Nice. That's all good. And would you say Fringe is an environment that really helps you to kind of further yourself as a comedian? Because it feels like it's a really intense environment, and just, like you said, you're doing a couple of shows a day. Does it feel like at the back end of Edinburgh, you always feel like, oh, yeah, I'm sharp.
Yeah.
I'm at my best right now.
Yeah, you're really, you get very match fit over the course of it, which is like I found when I was sort of last September, so Fringe is in August. And come down, and you don't really do a great deal in September because you try and
sleep.
Exactly. Like, be ill for about a week, the stuff that your immune system's been pushing back for you. And so I was listening to a recording because I was just about to start my London run. I was like, all right, okay, haven't done this show in a month. Let's listen to a recording. And the recording was taken on the 8th of August, I believe. So right near the beginning of the Fringe. And even then, I was listening to the recording just being like, no, this isn't how it goes. This is like, because just over the course of the month, it's like, no, there are two more jokes in that bit and I've just skipped entirely ahead. Like, did I forget? It's like, oh no, because those came about when you were doing it every day and constantly finding new little tags and new little sharpeners. So yeah, it's really like, it makes you better every year that you're up there and making yourself do that marathon thing just makes you, like, takes you up a level as a comic.
Nice. And obviously, apart from The Fringe, what can we look forward to from you forthcoming then? What can we see? Because I feel like you're getting more and more active.
What am I doing anything, Lily? I don't know.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm doing this.
You're doing that self-sabotage again, aren't you? There's loads of stuff that he's got to. He doesn't want to share it with you.
No. And then I'll be taking it on tour around the country and what have you afterwards. And yeah.
And the name of the show again?
Dots.
Dots.
Anusha Dots.
Why is that?
It is called that because basically you have to decide on a title for your Fringe show very, very early in the year. And sort of the administrative deadlines of the Edinburgh Fringe did not sort of cascade well with the mental collapse I had in the spring.
Fair enough.
And so the show title is very much a before. And the content is very much after.
Okay, I like it. So you're just like, hey, got to make a show around this now.
Yeah.
How do I make this work?
Like, so basically, I'll just be like, I'll be talking for an hour and hopefully it'll be very funny and thoughtful and interesting. Yeah. And at the end of it, I'll just be like, shit, like, also, I like dots. All right, cool, see you later. It's been a pleasure.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Why is it called dots? Because it's too late for it not to be.
Well, I was just looking. I just put a few dots down and I was just thinking about what I was going to put on it. And then I put it in the post. I forgot I didn't do anything. They were like, oh, three dots. Dots. That must be it. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So the show's about like waiting for a text or some shit. I don't know.
It's about those awkward silences in between words. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh man, well, I appreciate you coming down the show, man.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
We'll put links to the Edinburgh Fringe show dots which we're looking forward to, and also look forward to the tour that you have coming after that as well. I'm pretty sure you'll be out touring. I know you don't want to promote it on the show, so we'll do that for you, don't worry.
No,
we'll
put links in the show description. Please do buy tickets and everything. I'll be in London in the second half of September. Yeah. And then around the country for the next few months. And nice.
Nice. And where can we find you? Where is the best place to find you online? Because you said you're not on Insta. You're not really on the Facebook. Is Twitter for you? Is that where you're the most active?
Yes. Okay. Certainly.
So if you want to say hi to you and throw some casual abuse at you on the internet, that's the place to go.
Yeah. So my handle is at Ahir Shah. The best racial slur to use is Paki, if you want to go down that route. That's the one that most sort of covers the vibe that I've got going on.
How often is that? Is that a daily thing? Okay, yeah.
No, the filters have got very good now, okay, actually. Right. I realize, like, you generally speaking, you don't see it unless you search for it now, which is quite good.
Whoa!
A lot of foam has
just fallen
off the wall.
Fallen off the wall now because of that. Racist foam. Foam shuddered. It's going to be outed. But anyway, yeah.
That foam has been cancelled.
Yeah, that foam's cancelled for life, baby. Damn. Who would have thunk it? Racist foam. And you're on How to Kill an Hour. No, but thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Such
I appreciate
a pleasure.
It. It's been a laugh. I'm going to try and reach one of your shows. I'm going to be out there in September. I won't be able to get to Fringe because I'll be active, but I'm going to come and see you in September, man. So I'm going to turn up at one of your shows randomly and heckle you.
Please don't.
Yo, it's me.
Remember that podcast?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. How to kill an hour. Yeah. I'm not drunk. I'm just having a good time. thanks for coming to the show, man. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Ahir Shah.
Thank you for killing some time with us. Oh, don't forget, howtokillanhour.com/podcast. Or podcasts.
Or podcasts.
Doesn't matter. Either way, it'll work. Cheers.
I like the idea that it'll be like every sort of declension.
Yeah.
Like podcast E, podcast podcast ass.
Podcast with a Z as well, yeah? Podcast. You never know. You got to get, you got to do it for all of those drunk typers out there as well.
Podcast system.
Cast pod as well. All right, thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.